You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that he will hide us under his feathers, and under his wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan Devon is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan Devon.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Devall. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com and at www.thefireplacechurch.org, where every night at 7 p.m., every Sunday night at 7 p.m. CST, Central Standard Time, we are hanging out and enjoying service and fellowship together. Now, I have a couple announcements. At the end of this month, I am going to be doing the Kingdom class. The discipleship courses at Bride Ministries have historically been an 8-week course, and we're looking at rearranging how we do those because, one, I'm considering myself my own personal time obligations, but two, we found that, you know, for a lot of people, the 8-week journey and commitment was a bit challenging. People sometimes had a hard time committing to all 8 or even 7 of the 8, and so what we're doing is we're experimenting with a different delivery, which is a weekend conference style presentation of the entire 8-week course. And so what will happen is at the end of the month, we'll basically do a Friday night with 2 of the sessions, and then Saturday 4 of the sessions, and then the last 2 on Sunday morning. And so you are welcome to sign up for our Kingdom class. Many of you will be getting an email about that. And at bridemovement.com, we have integrated class signups with the website platform. So you can just go right in there and just sign up. I encourage you, bridemovement.com under our classes and events tab. And we're going to be having a great time as usual. You know, one of the coolest things we do at Bride Ministries is our conferences, because we have, I mean, amazing material, and yeah, that's a shameless plug, but then we have you guys, and it's the people that make the experience, because when everyone comes to the table, brings their insights, their opinions, their experiences, and we dialogue about it, there is growth, there is fruit, there's fun, there's laughter, there's community and engagement. I invite you to hang out with us for the Kingdom Conference. Now, in addition to that, guys, we've been getting some emails, but okay, Daniel's mentioned the Sheep Nations Conference. He's going to do a conference on this subject. When is that coming? I'm telling you, there's a lot going on right now as far as my schedule and how I can work things in, but I am committing to June. I am going to be working on this packet as soon as I get my hands free enough to do that and create some conference proceedings material, something for everyone to walk away with because we do that for all of our conferences, but I am committing to June as the time, probably later June, but you know, we're gonna make an announcement. It will be June for the Sheep Nations Conference, and that'll post to our website, and you'll be able to sign up right there, and it'll be nice and smooth. And so look forward to that, guys. That is coming up as well at Bride Ministries. Now, let me remind you guys, we are a nonprofit organization. We are doing a number of things. All of it costs money, and we appreciate those of you that are financially supporting us. We want to encourage those of you that haven't begun financially supporting us yet, but feed off of this program. Enjoy what we do. Enjoy what we produce. I invite you. BrideMovement.com, TheFireplaceChurch.org. We have donate buttons. Also, you can write to us at P.O. Box 6173, Texarkana, Texas 75505. With that said, we're going to be getting to an amazing program with a prophet, Daryl Crawford Marshall, just an amazing brother. Really love him. Another one of my friends from Australia. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Folks, we are on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. And let me tell you something. I am really looking forward to today's program. We are getting joined again, and this will be for the second time, by Daryl Crawford Marshall. And he is one of the pastors at Field of Dreams. Yes, another one of my good friends from Australia. And he and his wife, Belinda, have a heart for souls and equipping the body to walk in the fullness of what God has promised to all believers. They move extensively in the prophetic and are passionate about training people for revival and unlocking the prophetic gift in everyone. And I'll tell you something, Daryl is over what you could call a school of prophets. I mean, they are definitely raising up the prophetic. And it's really exciting to watch. And I'll tell you, you guys responded really powerfully to him the last time I had him on. Apparently, he's still getting emails from our first program. Daryl, welcome back to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
Thank you so much. And let me just say, it's such a delight to be with you again. It really, really is. It's a real honor.
Well, you know, every time we get together, Daryl, it's just a great time. I'll tell you, coming to Australia was just wonderful, really good for me personally. It's wild to travel all the way around the world just to, you know, sit down and have a chat with some friends. But that's what the Lord did. And
he sure did.
You know, oh my gosh, when we were there, you were beginning to tell me about some things that the Lord had been dealing with you on regarding prophets, seers, and how God is really instating these gifts in the church in a new kind of way in this season. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, the people that listen to this program are very gifted. They definitely do not fit your typical, you know, conservative Christian box. I'll just leave it at that. I know because we get some of the emails, we have them show up at our conferences. And it's awesome because I see God doing a really awesome thing in the earth, and he's doing things in a way he hasn't done them, you know, in the past 40, 50 years. And we're trying to figure it out. Anyway, with that said, you have a lot of experience as one who has walked in the office of prophet, seer. I mean, you really move in this area, brother. What has the Lord been putting on your heart?
Yeah, okay. So in a nutshell, I guess one of the every person's seeing in part, you know, and every person will be given a specific message in each different season. And I'm talking about people that are called to specifically equip the body. And you would understand this as well, Daniel, that you go in seasons too. So in seasons, God will be saying, okay, there's an emphasis on warfare in this season, Daniel, and maybe you steer a lot of your teaching and maybe some of your other stuff towards that. And so what's been happening with me specifically, probably for about 18 months, God's been speaking to me very, very specifically about the prophets coming home, about the prophets coming home. And it's not just, it's actually a very, very deep process and a deep topic. And I really feel like what God wants to instill in the hearts of many, many kind of believers at this time is that, first of all, we're all designed to move prophetically. We're all designed to move in the prophetic. But I feel like what God's doing is he's bringing us back to this place where we understand that we all fit as part of the body, where we all fit together, and if we don't fit as part of the body, we're actually not moving in the fullness of the mandate that we're called to move into. Now, I can go into things with regards to what things have come against prophetic people in the past to actually lure them away from actually being connected into the body or connected into community. And that has actually been a specific assignment against prophetic people, or sensitive, I like to call them sensitive people, prophetically or sensitive people, in order that they would not be able to fulfill the mandate that God has for them. And so it's actually been a directive, it's actually been a demonic directive, I believe, to ensure that those people never walk out the fullness of who they are as prophetic people and as a much needed part of the body.
Now, I'm going to bait you with something, Daryl. Okay.
Yep.
So, I believe that keeping gifts like the prophet and the seer out of fellowship creates a void in the ability for the body of Christ to effectively engage the spirit realm with their authority.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we end up running around trying to get things done blindfolded, so to speak. We train ourselves to speak prayers that are, they may sound right, but it's just like throwing darts into an open field and hoping one of them hits a target. Whereas, I'm just trying to bait you here a little bit. Okay, how do you think that prophets and seers can help once they begin to be placed in the context of fellowship in a body, accepted widely?
Well, this is a great topic. This is actually my favorite topic at the moment. As I said, I really believe that many prophets are actually being called back into local church context in this season. And when I use the word season, Daniel, I'm talking about 5 to 10 years. So I believe within the next 5 to 10 years that most people that are operating, first of all, in the office, but also just at high level prophetic gifting, seers and people that are called to work in that context, that they're all going to be coming into a place where they're reconnecting with the body within that time frame. So your question is with regards to what does it look like when they reconnect? Well, what it looks like, first of all, is it actually looks like, and this is, I'm just going to talk about the process, if that's okay, just about the process of what I feel like it's going to look like as they come in, and then I'll answer your question more specifically. But first of all, I really believe that the first stage looks like when people get reconnected, it actually looks like coming into a place of healing. Now, I really believe that because there's been levels of rejection, over the prophetic, and we're talking about over the last, you know, 50, 60, 70 years, where there's been a level of rejection over prophetic people and a sensitivity. This isn't about one particular person or one particular denomination or church. This has actually been a spiritual dimension or dynamic that has been designed to actually bring harm to people. So, well, first of all, what's the first stage then? Well, if people have been hurt by the spirit, by the family of God, well, the first stage then is that they actually come into a place of healing. So they come into a place where they come into a local church assembly, and they might be completely activated in the realm of the spirit. But the first process is actually that there's a healing of the heart, where people actually learn what it is to actually be able to operate in family and in that context again. Because what happens is, if people aren't healed at a heart level, you'll come into a church. I'm talking now to, let's just be very direct now. So I'm an extreme seer. So right now I'm talking to extreme seers and extreme mystics. I think we'll just start there and then we'll come back down if that's cool. So for those people that are extreme seers and extreme mystics, what God wants to do for you specifically is he wants to have you, first of all, healed anything in your heart that has, with regard, that has been, come by way of any kind of rejection, to get that healed, and then from that place learning how to partner with the spirit of wisdom to see your, what you're seeing and what you're sensing, to see that then to see that then work appropriately in the local congregation that God has placed you in. You know, God spoke to me many years ago, and he said, Daryl, the more, and people will like this, you'll start to catch where I'm going, but God spoke to me and he said, the less you say, Daryl, the more you'll see. The less you say, the more you'll see. And I was like, well, God, why would that be? You know, I'm called to, you know, my mouth is a weapon and I'm supposed to be able to speak things out. And then I realized what happened was that God put an incredibly large dollop of a prophetic anointing on me. And then what happened was, I raised up so quickly, I started to see so much stuff. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm seeing everything. And all I wanted to do then was to say, hey, I see this happening, or I'm discerning this happening. And it started to come up so quickly. And then I realized that it was because I was being wise with holding my tongue and not actually speaking out everything that I was seeing. And then God was actually teaching me then to partner with a spirit of wisdom to be able to then appropriate the things I was seeing, rather than just going, yeah, I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that, which actually would end up doing damage, because a high level discernment with a lack of ability to administrate through love and wisdom is actually very, very dangerous. So does that answer a little bit of what you were saying?
So what you're saying is, okay, yep. God is bringing these prophetic and sensitive people back into fellowship. I know I appreciate them immensely. And so as that process is happening for people, though, mm-hmm. there has to be a healing of the heart where damage, yes. wounding, and rejection has taken place. Otherwise, yep. that damage, wounding, and rejection works its way into the execution exactly. of the gift.
Exactly. Exactly. And, oh, sorry, go on.
No, yep. no.
Yeah, so that's exactly it. So it works into the execution of the gift. But more than that, what happens is, if we come into a place then when we haven't been healed, we immediately, we still have a default setting of rejection. So what happens is that if you release a word and you feel, and you walk out, and that you've still got that sense of rejection where you're not getting your security or identity through Christ, you know, you're a beloved son or daughter, you know, there's nothing you can do for approval and all of those things, and you're not looking for any kind of, you're not looking for any of man's affirmation. Until such a time as that place is healed, what happens is that you'll release something prophetically or you'll process, and you'll literally feel like you're being rejected all over again. And it's literally like a cycle that will go over and over and over. And that's why, and let me just be straight up, because I know that one of the things I love about this show, Daniel, is you really allow people a liberty to be able to speak what's on their heart in a place of wisdom too. And I really honor you for that. But this is the thing, is that's why people float from church to church, and that's why prophetic people have had such a bad reputation as being floaters. Because what happens is they say, oh, I'm just here for a season and God's going to move me on. And that's actually rubbish. It's actually a lie. Because God doesn't work like that. God will plant you for extended seasons sometimes. But what happens is people, a lot of the time, people say, oh, you know, I'm here, I've been here for a month and I've done what I was called to do in that church. That's actually not true, because what people are doing is they've actually, that's actually a self-appointed ministry, and it hasn't even been invited in under the spiritual apostolic prophetic covering of the house that you're in. So what happens is that people are in this delusion where they go, I'm just doing work for God, and I'm going here, I'm going here, I'm going here. I'm going to probably bursting some bubbles right now. But that floatiness isn't God, and it's not what the prophetic people are supposed to be. See, prophetic people are designed to be heavenly minded, but grounded on the earth, just like Jesus was. So the thing is, when we're grounded on the earth, your prophetic gift actually has incredible impact. It has incredible impact, and I feel like that's where we're going in this season. Is God saying, hey, you know, you've been going from church to church and floating and all of that stuff. You'll see where I'm going. But the reason that that's happened is because people don't want to get too close because they've been rejected before. So as soon as those relationships start to develop in a local church again, people are, oh my goodness, I don't want to get rejected. So there's a reaction that happens, and then they leave that church. Or the pastor says one thing to them about them praying for someone or prophesying over someone where it was inappropriate. They can't, and they're not good at taking correction. And then they're like, oh, well, that church is full of witchcraft anyway. And it's just not true. It's actually, I always say this to people. I say, what's the common denominator in you moving from church to church? And they're, you know, finding problems in all the churches. And they go, oh, well, I don't know. And I say, well, it's you. You're the common denominator. So it's true. You're the common, and that's the funny thing. And I have people all the time, they go, I went to this church and they had witchcraft there, and went to this church and there was control there, and I went to this church and there was a problem there. And literally I'm just looking at them, because I've been pastoring prophets for at least 8 years solidly, pastoring prophets, people that are called into a fivefold office, and help them land and help them kind of reconnect to the body and connect to where they're supposed to be, so that they can start to fulfill more of the mandate that God has for them. But in that process, I've actually had to say, hey, you know what? You're actually in a place of delusion, because what you're picking up, the manipulation, the stuff, is actually the stuff that you're trading in. So that's yeah.
People
have a fear of good. Go on, sorry.
No, this is really, really good stuff. Let's take a step back for a minute before we expand this and build. For those that are listening and they're like, oh, they're just right in there. I don't really know what prophetic or seer ministry looks like. Can you just take a few minutes and tell me, okay, what does prophetic and seer ministry look like in practical implementation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it differs with every, obviously it differs with every person. So in terms of the practical implementation of any kind of prophet, I guess the prophetic, see what you've got is you've got highly prophetic people. So you've got many, so I've mentored people who are more prophetic than I am in terms of, and the way that I say that is there seems to be an incredible, and I'm pretty prophetic, but there seems to be an incredible ability for people to be able to engage and do things in the realms of the spirit sometimes, or to be able to see or discern things of the angelic, or, you know, be able to prophesy with incredible accuracy from people's destiny scrolls, words of knowledge, being able to move in the realms of, being able to move in the things of the prophetic, inverted commas. And so you've got that, but then you've also got the office of a prophet. And so the difference between those things, so you're saying, what does the practical administration look like? See, I believe that every person in the body of Christ is called to be prophetic. I believe that we're actually called to be a prophetic company. Now, in the book of Acts, you've got Barnabas, and he was called the son of encouragement by the apostles, which was the paraklesis, which was basically... the Comforter, the same name as was given to the Holy Spirit. And so, but he was from the tribe of Levi, which were the priests. So I believe that that was actually a prophetic sign to the body, saying that every person in the body is called to be prophetic, but is actually called to be an encourager of one another. So what happened was that there was everyone is called to be prophetic and called to be able to prophesy. I really believe Everyone is called to be able to prophetically intercede for something, for nations, to be able to pray into all those areas. But then you've got the people that are called specifically to help people hear the voice of God. That's their primary thing on their heart. They're like, I just want people to be able to hear God's voice for themselves. That is actually a really strong indicator that someone's called to the office of a prophet. So because Ephesians 4:11, which is in no way redundant in this season, talks about prophets being equippers to equip the body for the work of the ministry. And so it's not just activating people in the prophetic, but the first stage of activating anyone in the prophetic, you know, to be able to see or hear in the things of the Spirit, is actually to be able to hear the voice of God. There's nothing more important than that. And so I'm writing a book at the moment, and this is kind of one of the primary things that I'm talking about. It's called The Battle to Belong. But this is one of the primary things that I'm talking about, is what it looks like when the whole body is able to hear the voice of the Lord. So in terms of your question about practical administration, what does it look like to be able to practically administrate? It's actually about hearing something from the Lord and then doing what God wants you to do with that in the context of a local church assembly. And I think the only expression that we've had of that, Daniel, is people getting prophetic words and then saying, hey, I've got a prophetic word for you. And a lot of the time that hasn't even been administrated very well either, because there hasn't been, you know, we only see in part. There's a lot of car park, they call them car park prophecy, where you isolate someone and you give them a directional word, which could be true, but there's no implementation of wisdom in that to say, well, actually, I've got this word for them, but first of all, what am I getting out of giving them this word? And secondly, is this actually the word that they want to hear? Because I feel like you're talking about practical administration. I see so much, but I'm not actually called to say everything that I see, so... So does that help?
Really good, really good. Okay, so let me ask you this question, right? Why do you think that? What are the main points of why people that tend to be more prophetic get rejected? I mean, I'm going to let you talk about this from both sides, you know, personal issue side and church issue side, because it's a two-sided coin. Yep. What are the main points? Why are people getting rejected?
Yeah. Okay. So I think, first of all, that we need to look at it in the context of this, of a spiritual reality. And I talked about it before, about there being, I really believe, a strategic assignment from the enemy over anyone prophetic. To literally attract rejection. I don't need to go into it any more than that. But first of all, we need to look at that context. Then one of the reasons that I believe that people get rejected more is actually because to be prophetic, you need. I was in a meeting actually just recently, and there was an amazing prophet called Jenny Hagar, and she was speaking, and she said something. She's a very good friend of mine, and she said something quite profound, and I've heard it many times before, but when Jenny said it, it really, really touched me, because Jenny's 77, and she's just been on the ground, you know, called as a fivefold prophet in South Australia for many, many, many years. And she said this. She said, people always said to me in my life, you need to be less sensitive. But the reality is that that's my greatest gift. So my greatest gift has become, so it's nearly like your greatest gift is also is your biggest weakness, but also your biggest strength. And I really believe that the reason that people face rejection more, or they experience rejection, is this combination of the enemy just wanting them to connect, and knowing that because they're sensitive, words can carry a lot more weight for a sensitive person than somebody that isn't as sensitive. So basically, for many years, and I'll share with you some of my stuff, but for many years, sometimes people would say to me, you just need to be thicker skinned. You just need to be thicker skinned. But that's not right, because I am a sensitive prophet. So the reality is that I need to, it's nearly like there's a very, very fine balance. And I know when the balance is going off, and I need to maintain that sensitivity to the voice of God and a sensitivity to what's happening in the realm of the Spirit. And so I need to maintain that sensitivity. And as soon as I think I need to toughen myself up, I actually shut down part of my sensitivity to what God's doing. And that's one of the reasons that I believe that people get rejected far more, is actually just because of their a high level of sensitivity you would understand, like with a sensitive child, you're, you know, they're easily upset. Things can, but that's actually not, it's not a problem. It's actually just a wiring issue. And that's why I believe that people experience far more rejection, because of that, with that, so people saying something, that and a combination of the enemy literally strategically targeting people with negative words to actually throw them off balance is part of the reason that sensitive and prophetic people experience more rejection in out of relationships in local church.
That is extremely insightful, Daryl. Spoken like somebody who's actually tracked this in multiple lives and case studies. Let's talk about this a little further. Okay, so you said the prophets are coming home, meaning that they probably haven't been home. You talked a little bit about how, you know, some people have been very flighty, and that's actually reflective of personal issues. You know, God actually does plant us in places for extended seasons, which I agree with. And what are some of the other reasons why God is telling you the prophets are coming home?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that kind of segues into what I feel like I was supposed to be talking about today. Was I really believe, and this is where it gets really, really exciting. Not that it wasn't exciting before, but we are all mystics, you know. And when you love the things of the mystical, you love the things of the spirit. And so this is the reality. The reality is this: that I believe that most highly prophetic people are coming home because part of their mandate. And this isn't going to be, yes, I'm here to do this job, you know, where we're getting on our high horse and saying I'm here to do this. But I feel like part of our mandate is actually loving the body into a place of being able to embrace the mystical things of the realm of the spirit, or the let's call it Christian mystics, you know. So bringing people back into a revelation and understanding that literally, that really every Christian is called to have a level of mystical understanding or mystical experience. And I believe that that's actually what we're doing, or why we're being, one of the reasons that we're coming back is because the body needs to actually come up now into a place where they start to engage in the things of the spirit and see that engaging in the things of the spirit, engaging with the angelic, engaging with spirit beings, engaging with in different realms and doing all that, that is actually part of normal Christianity. And I believe that that's done in a number of ways. I believe that some people are coming back to equip through teaching. Some people are coming back to equip through examples, so even just giving testimonies of things that have happened. But I really believe that God is calling us up into a place where we actually start to bridge this. And it's actually in two stages, I believe, because I actually believe it's connected to evangelism in this season as well. And this is why I love talking, because this is where I want to go today. Because I believe that what's happening is that where there has been a massive amount of counterfeit in the world in terms of psychics on TV and you know, not just psychics, but mediums and illusionists that walk on water and all of this stuff, I actually believe that God is calling the church up into a place to be demonstrators of the realm of the invisible. That's actually where I feel like we are. And so because of that, the only way that that's going to happen for the church to be in a place where they can start to demonstrate the things of the invisible. And I'm not just talking about prophetic people, I'm talking about the whole church. Anyone that wants it to actually come into a place where they can demonstrate the realm of the invisible to the world. And that actually comes with power, and then people get saved. That's what Paul says. You know, he said, I did not come to you with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the spirit and of power. And that's one of the things that I feel like God's calling us into, is to learn what it looks like to demonstrate the things of the invisible to a lost and dying world, so that they can actually put their faith in the power of God.
Demonstrating the things of the invisible. You know, I think, Daryl, that this is merges so well with some of the stuff I talk about with kingdom. Because I love to talk about the kingdom as, you know, the realm in which God is king, right? And so kingdom living becomes an effort to marry heaven and earth through us and the execution of our ministry, that we are actually supposed to walk in partnership with heaven. Mm-hmm. But how do we walk in partnership with heaven? We're walking in partnership with spiritual things, spiritual resources, spiritual environments, spiritual tools that can affect this world and what happens in it greatly. But mm-hmm. if you don't know what's there and what's on the other side of the veil, you wouldn't even know what's available to be used.
Exactly. Yep. I totally agree.
You know, just a small example of this, like with certain spiritual weapons, right? Or we can even stay away from spiritual weapons. We could talk about oil of anointing, you know, and it's like you could say, you know, there is oil of anointing and just talk about it like a concept, you know, and that the priests used to anoint with oil and stuff, and, you know, just leave it there. It's a Bible study lesson, right? Or you could talk about it as a prophetic person and say, hey, you know, I see that the Lord has delivered to you a flask of oil. And it's like, oh, wow, that's a really cool prophetic word.
Yep.
But that prophetic word actually activates something in the spirit, because when that believer connects what has been spoken into them with faith, they can say, wait a minute, I own that word. Because, the Greek word for word is also the word for thing. and so it's actually a thing. And so that once that word's active, you could take that oil and say, no, I'm going to take my oil and I am prophetically pouring it over that person's head. And you could even make a physical action, it's like a prophetic act, and take your arm and put it on top of the person's head with nothing in your hand, yet there is this engagement in the spirit where the person suddenly has an impartation. Oh my goodness, I feel this warm presence of the Lord just flowing from my head to my toes. And all you did was tip your arm over my head. And you know, some Christians would say, oh, that's witchcraft. That's not witchcraft. I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Beginning to engage two realms by faith. And it is the prophetic that opens this up, because I've watched it.
Yep. That's exactly it. That's exactly where we are. I started to, work with angels more. Now let's just put this into context as well. This wasn't every place that I went, and you know, every time I ministered. I do a lot of ministry in churches and in groups and conferences, but there would be some times that I would feel very strongly these angels were with me. This is exactly what you're talking about, and I would know that they were there to actually demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And so what would happen was that exactly what you're saying, people would be able to experience tangibly those things which they cannot see with their natural eyes. And this was really, really important. And so it wasn't just so what happens is you've got your five senses, then you've got your spiritual senses. But what I won't go into that now. But what God was speaking to me about was actually when people with their natural senses start to pick up things from the heavenly realm, it actually activates them in the realm of the spirit, where they start to come up, and the thing, not just their spiritual senses, but they start to come up into a place where they indirectly start to engage with the things of the spirit like never before. So a really, really easy example, and I love what you said about the pouring out of the oil, really easy example is if you're in a meeting and an angel comes in, And the angels, say the angels releasing, say you're releasing a word about fire, and the fire angels come in and they start to release fire, the fire of God into a congregation. Now, just saying to people, do you feel heat? Well, and they say, yes, I'm actually feeling heat. Well, that's a natural sense. They're actually saying, oh, you know, in my natural senses, I'm feeling heat on my hand. I'm feeling it. I'm sensing it. And so what would happen is then this is what I feel like we're being called to do, is demonstrate the invisible, is literally saying to people, well, the reason that you are feeling the heat now is because there is an angel that has been released to release fire over you, so that you know that the kingdom of heaven is real, and so that you know that there is now, and exactly what you said, there is a merging of those two realms. And that's what I feel like we're being called to do. So we're being called, we're being awakened to be able to sense what's happening in the realm of the spirit, and then to be able to partner with that by, like you said, by speaking out and saying, this is actually what is happening. And then people are actually experiencing it, and then they're coming into an awakening of the, first of all, the reality of heaven. If they're non-believers, you know, the reality that heaven is a real place. But for believers, they're actually coming into a place going, oh my goodness, it's not just the invisible world realm is real, but I'm actually called and able and invited to partner with that invisible world to actually see the kingdom of heaven come in more abundance. So really, really exciting.
Now, this is what makes me upset, Daryl. Okay, it makes me upset that the people that work in the kingdom of darkness merge, you know, their world with the world of the demons and evil spirits. And in that merger, they're doing all kinds of really supernatural things. Mm-hmm. Supernatural experiences, supernatural power. And the church responds to that by saying, stay away from it. Only because it's bad, and complain about it behind closed doors. Now, nothing wrong with staying away from it. Stay away from it, yes. Just sit back and complain about it behind closed doors, I think is backwards. Because what that does is that gives all the glory to the kingdom of darkness. Say, hey, you guys are the only ones that get to merge realms. Mm-hmm. That is the 3D world and your experience here with the supernatural. And we who have access to the superior realm and the superior power, who is Jesus, will not engage, and we'll just complain about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That makes me upset, Daryl, because yes. I think that God has something bigger. I actually think that he can demonstrate things that make what the kingdom of darkness does with their demons and incantations look like petty stuff.
Yep, totally. And that's where, I mean, that's where we are, because I feel like what it is there's been this incredible fear and trepidation to be able to even talk about stuff. So you go, actually, so people, and then what happens is people establish various things to safeguard people away from something, but those things that have been established have actually been established from fear.
Yes.
And so what I feel, and you can't set up something, and I really believe that the body of Christ has had a massive tendency to set up whatever it is. It might be a system of protocol, it could be anything. It could be the way we do stuff in church now, and we've, you know, going back to the prophetic stuff. But it was all set up from a place of fear. And fear is a spirit, it's actually a demon. So the enemy is reinforcing stuff and saying, I don't want you guys to go there because you might get, and this is the biggest lie, is you might get deceived. Well, the thing is, we have the Spirit of God within us. We have the Word of God to be able to weigh up everything according to the full counsel of Scripture. So therefore, we're actually in the safest place ever. So as long as we do what it says in the Word to do with regards to judging experience and moving into stuff. And so I feel like, yeah, I totally agree with you, because we've been navigating this stuff at the moment. And God's been speaking to us about some stuff and saying, you know, what would it look like? I'm just giving you an example now. So let me give you an example. What would it look like? You know, you have TV shows where people are contacting people's dead relatives. Well, the reality is, what would it look like for Christians to be on secular television? And I'm not talking about engaging with the cloud of witnesses who are alive, by the way. But I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying, what would it look like to actually demonstrate at a national level on TV the things of the invisible world? Like, and non-believers have been doing it, leading the world into deception for years. And the reason that I'm so passionate about this, and you'll see where I'm going, is because my mother, and I think I mentioned this when I was on the show last time, my mother was a professional astrologer, and literally a horoscope reader and all that. And she was on cable television. That's what she did. So she would go into the studio, people would ring in, she would say, this is what's happening. And this is the thing, is like, I feel like the the enemy has literally run riot over these mediums, especially in the entertainment industry, the media. And I feel like God's saying, I'm giving it back to the church, but we're actually going to have to step out the box a bit. And there are going to be few people that step out the box more early, and they'll probably come under a little bit of attack because they're doing it by the church, by saying, no, that's not the way you reach people. But the reality is that what God, the way that God, it's nearly like we Harry Potter was one of the best selling book series in the whole, in ever, wasn't it, Daniel?
I'll tell you what, people are hungry for the supernatural.
Hungry, and that it was an incredible series in terms of what the impact it had. If you think about it, like it was, it, but the thing is that was just a counterfeit. And then I've given so many prophetic words in so many meetings over people saying, just as I've forgotten the woman's name, is there, J.K. Rowling, I can't remember her name, but just as she wrote this series, Harry Potter, God is calling Christians to write series of books that will awaken people into authentic spiritual encounter. People will get saved, and literally, whoever wants to take it can take it and write these things. And everyone in the meetings go, yeah, we're going to do it. But we're still not seeing any of them really coming into a place where they're not yet. Like, I'm not saying that people aren't publishing stuff, but I really feel like we're stepping into this place where people are going, okay, the way coming into a place where going, okay, I've seen this happen and the counterfeit's here, but what does it look like for the authentic now to be released at an incredible level onto the earth, where we, and this is my old message at the moment, where we are now demonstrators of the invisible world and saying, actually, this is the reality. I mean, I've spoken to you about stories before when I'm in coffee shops and I'm meeting people's family members that are in heaven while I'm sitting with the people. And I think I mentioned it last time on the show, but I'm sitting.
You did. Fascinating.
But that's part of it. That's exactly part of it. It's actually saying, let me show you that this realm, that the kingdom of heaven is a real place. And I'm going to do it by way of engaging in something of the invisible and then give you information that I couldn't possibly know unless it was supernaturally downloaded to me. And that's exactly what these mediums do on TV. They say, I'm going to do this because they're tapping into their higher realm. But the reality is that we're born of the highest and we're ambassadors of that realm.
Well, one of the things that drives me nuts is the idea that, I just think people get confused, right? They think that the devil is more than a counterfeiter. So they attribute full credit to the devil for some stuff, as if God has no counterpart or redemptive application. And what we need to realize, in my opinion, is that the devil counterfeits everything. He's not that creative. And so if the devil has some kind of evil thing, there is a holy, sanctified, righteous counterpart that God actually has. But we're so backwards. We don't even have a grid for half of the, you know, the cult is doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, the stories that I get, it's like, oh, they're doing that too. Wow. But, you know, that's expanded my thinking, because I always go into this stuff. You know, like, okay, when I go into my sessions, Daryl, I'm not asking how weird can we get today. I'm asking, God, how are we setting your people free today? Right? We're going to work together to set your people free. What is that going to require? Right? And you guys like, oh, yeah, well, it's going to require dealing with this. Like, that is so weird. But then my next question oftentimes is, how is there what did they counterfeit to get that? And see, it's all of these hidden things, Daryl, that I think the Lord would love to unpack to his people if we would only open our hands for it.
Yes.
There are so many hidden mysteries and secrets God has for us. And the whole idea, I think, of marrying the natural with the supernatural intentionally through the prophetic, and it's very foreign for most of the church. But I don't think... go ahead.
No, that's why God is calling a company right now of people back into the church to actually help forerun something. And I really believe that this is a new move in conjunction with what God's doing on the earth. And this is actually what it looks like. And the people that are for this, what I'm saying, and people are coming back, but you have to forerun something. And to be a forerunner or to be a pioneer is the same concept. Forerunner or a pioneer means that it hasn't been done, or not many people are doing it. So you're actually in a place where you are taking, where you're literally running ahead and saying, okay. And I know that this is, I actually, speaking prophetically, I feel like people listening to this right now, I'm actually prophesying off your scroll. So I'm just feeling it right now. I just felt an angel come in the room just 1 second ago. And there is something right now that some of you guys listening to this show today, you are actually called to be pioneers and forerunners in this area. And I know that you know it. I know that you know it. You don't need to send me 100 emails about it, but I know that you know that that's actually what you're called to do. And the next step is actually asking the Lord, God, where do you want me to connect? And who do I start to process this with specifically, so that I can start to see that unlocked at a greater level in my life, at what it looks like to actually start to forerun something in this area. And this is just one of the things that God's doing. This is not the only thing that obviously that God's doing on the earth, but this is just one thing that he's doing with the prophets and the prophetic people as he brings them back into a local church, communities and companies.
All right, so we're talking about the prophetic. We're talking about how people have not been at home. Well, why rejection has been an issue. We're talking about how God is opening up a new move through prophetic ministry and how that's all going to. Okay, let's take another step. You've been working with prophetic people, training them up, equipping for years, Daryl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give me some 101s. If someone's listening saying, well, this is really cool, I wish you could be my coach, Daryl. Coach us for a minute, Daryl. These people, because I mean, there are people, and I meet them sometimes, right? They come to me and they're like, Daniel, I am literally scared to go places because I just see everything. And I don't know how to handle that. And if I begin to speak out of it, it's just always a disaster. And I wish, and some people actually do succeed in shutting themselves and their gifts, whatever, down. They just go flat. And that's a problem. Okay, so let's do some coaching here. How do you help people take steps towards maturity?
Yeah. Well, really, really, this is really, really easy. Well, I think it is anyway. It is now. Is it now for me? One of my mentors taught me about a prophetic dilation, and I think that that's the best way to look at this. Now, if you know that your eyes or your iris, they have levels of dilation, and so does your sensitivity to the realm of the spirit as a prophetic person, or say your eyes, say what you see. And so what happens is you move into different levels of dilation. Now, I used to think that I was a strong, and this is answering your question specifically, Daniel. So I used to feel like I was a strong seer. So I was like, because I would walk into a meeting and I would be, I could sense something. So when I talk about seer, I even talk about discernment, being a discerner. I'm putting it all in the same category right now. So, but I'm just using the word seer. So I used to go in and I'd have very strong discernment and I'd be able to see things and pick things up, and my antenna were really up and I could do all that stuff. And I used to think that I had a relatively high ability to high level of the seer gift, let's just say that, or prophetic gifting, prophetic discernment. And I remember one day I was in a coffee shop. And as I was in the coffee shop, I remember looking across the coffee shop. I spend a lot of time in coffee shops. We're in Australia. You've been to Australia. We spend half our time having coffee. So I was in a coffee shop, and I remember looking across the coffee shop, and this was really, really crazy. And I remember seeing colors circulating around people, but it wasn't just as I would normally see it, where I would normally see something superimposed and I would get it quite strongly. It literally was literally like rainbows rushing around people's heads that I could see as clear as I could see them. So it was literally like the realm had been completely superimposed. The two realms had completely merged, and I was seeing it in 20/20 vision with my natural eyes. Well, it was so overwhelming, Daniel. I literally, my heart rate went up. I started to completely freak out. And I remember ringing my mentor. I had one specific mentor for 7 years, and I remember ringing her and saying, oh my God, what is going on? And she said, your spiritual dilation is just increased. Well, I freaked out. And I said, God, you need to turn it down. You need to turn it down. I can't even leave my house. This is way too much. And I remember just praying, God, will you turn it down? Will you turn it down? Will you turn it down? And so what happened was, and you said, you know, people can pray to have it turned down. Well, you know what, God, if you ask God something, it's not like he's not going to answer you. So I remember, so within a couple of, probably maybe, I don't know, 3 hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours, I felt that kind of lift off mildly, and I kind of landed a bit. But what happened was that I realized that through that introduction, I was in a place where God was, it was nearly like I could be introduced to a new level of dilation, be it gradually from that point, where then that gift started to increase and increase and increase. And it got to the state where I wasn't as freaked out. And you used the word mature, you used the word, you know, how do people mature in something? And, you know, because, you know, it says the gift and call of God are irrevocable. So you know, some people are just given a dollop of the prophetic and, well, what am I supposed to do with that? And this is, I really believe that there is actually an answer, which is great. And being from personal experience. And you know what I think the answer is? I believe that the answer is, first of all, knowing what helps you dial down. This is incredible wisdom. This has taken me, this is so bizarre. This has taken me so many years, and it's so simple. Isn't that just the way with God, Daniel? It's taken me probably 40 years to get to this stage now, and it's so simple. And it's learning about your wiring and your function, and learning about what dials you down. This is so crazy. And I learned that what dials me down is to focus my eye or ear gate onto something gentle. And so as soon as that would happen, it would actually start to dial things down. So what would happen is I'd go into these meetings where I'd be ministering, sometimes at quite a prophetically higher level. And God spoke to me. And I said, God, what do I do? I'm coming back and I'm just completely dilated. I can't even get into an elevator, because I'm picking up everything. I'm seeing every witchcraft thing, all the angels, the good stuff and the bad stuff, and all that stuff. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, buy a Nintendo. I said, why would I want to buy a Nintendo? I said, that's not even, you know, I'm like, no, Nintendo, why would I do that? You know, do you know where they're from? And, you know, and he said, buy a Nintendo, trust me. And I bought myself a little Nintendo, handheld Nintendo. And as soon as I had finished doing something where I was really, really heavily spiritually dilated at the time, where I was feeling like things were really, as soon as I played just a gentle game on the Nintendo, what would happen? It's such a strange thing to talk about. But what would happen is I would actually start to land, and actually things would, it wouldn't shut down, but what the extremity, because when you see something, your soul realm has to try to catch up. That's why you're talking about maturing. But actually things would dial down, and I would actually be able to think clearly again. So it wasn't even about playing the Nintendo. For you, it might be, you know, going into doing some gardening or doing something. But what it was about actually focusing on something that wasn't as intense. And the second thing, so that was the first thing, learning about your sensitivity, and what helps you dial down, because you don't need to necessarily have God to shut it off all the time. You just need to learn how to dial it down, because you actually, God has given you control to be able to do it for yourself. So that's the first thing, because you are in control of your soul. And so, and it's actually just your soul. It's not your spirit man freaking out. It's actually your soul realm having to catch up with all the stuff that you're engaging with. And that was the first thing. The second thing was actually just reading the word, actually getting into a place where I'm abiding in not just the Old Testament. A lot of people just read the Old Testament too, but abiding in the New Testament and the New Covenant, actually just reading the word consistently. And I was finding the more I was eating of the word, the quicker I was actually growing and maturing, and the more I could actually bear up under the intensifying of the prophetic gift that God had given me, or the prophetic mantle.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's so funny. You know, Daryl, people actually think I'm really weird.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure they're listening to you thinking, like, you're really weird. Like, oh my gosh, I hope that I don't have to stand in front of Daryl on a bad day, because he's going to just be really weird. He's going to read my mail, and you might. But really, you're a very normal guy. As a matter of fact, you're a lot of fun to hang around, great personality, all of that. And what people don't realize is that, like, the wisdom that you're talking about actually does need to get applied. There has to be a come down. There has to be a come down where you do land. And it's like, you know, I mean, I don't sit up there in the heavens fighting battles with principalities like all day, every day, even into the, like, you know, I mean, I do it while I'm working with people and getting, you know, the body of Christ free, whatever. But then there's like a come down. And it's like, dude, I am so in the real world for some time that my soul gets rest. Like, because I don't know that your soul gets much rest when you're dialed up. Yep. Like you said, I like that word, dialed up. Your soul doesn't get much rest, and you can go into really bad fatigue places if you don't get some kind of come down regularly.
Yep. Every day. You can't have your antenna up. I used to hang out with prophets all the time, like all the time. And do you know what they're, because I just, anyone that's carrying any prophetic wisdom, I just wanted to learn. I still do, obviously, just wanted to learn. And I said, how do you stop, what do you do to shut it off? And they would say things like, and every prophetic person would say the same thing that had any level of maturity. They would say, you can't always have your antenna up. And do you know what that spoke to me about, Daniel?
Hmm.
It spoke to me about the ability I have to put my antenna down. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm actually in control here. I can actually choose to turn it on or turn it off. And if you've ever moved in the realm of the spirit, you can actually make a decision to engage or not engage. And that's what we're talking about now, is we're talking about what it looks like for you to land. If it's quite an extreme, it's like landing on a plane, you know, you don't just bang land on the ground. You know, there's a gradual process of bringing yourself down. And so it's learning about how you're wired, what your gradual process of bringing yourself down. I just don't sit. So this is really important. I don't just sit and play Nintendo. That can last, I wouldn't say probably more than 20 or 30 minutes would be extreme amount of time. I need 20 just to bring myself down. Then I go, as you said, then I go and play with my family. I go and play with my 2-year-old son. I go shopping. I go and kit something out in my office. I do normal stuff. And I just feel like that's so, so important. This is really, really good for people. But, you know, so it's learning about how you dial down best, how you rest, and then what it looks like for you to not be relevant to the world, because then that's even putting it in a ministry context, or, you know, in a context where I'm trying to impact people. Just doing life, enjoying yourself, playing golf, doing the things that you want to do, and then finding that, because that actually opens up the Psalm 23 realm, I really believe, where it says that he leads me beside. I really believe that's a realm in itself, but I really believe when it says he leads me beside still waters, and it says he restores my soul. And there's a place of refreshing where God knows the things that you enjoy doing actually bring that Psalm 23 reality of refreshment to your soul back, where you can actually, it's nearly like that word refresh, it can nearly mean like reset. And I feel like that's a really good word, Daniel, is prophetic people need to be able to learn what it is to reset again. And then you start again. I just think it's so, so important.
My goodness. Okay. All right. So I like that term, prophetic dilation. Now, I want to talk about this a bit. Okay. So back to prophets coming home. Is there more on this subject you haven't gotten to yet?
Yeah. I mean, well, as I said to you before, I'm writing a book at the moment about the reality of this, and I feel like what it is that this isn't just about, you know, prophetic people coming back into local church context, and, you know, and now we're here and we're going to do everything that we're, you know, everything that it's like, I think we have a funny idea sometimes that, and I'm not trying to say that prophetic people aren't in a church context. So for those people that are actually, you know, going, you know, part of a local church assemblies and all of this stuff, for you, what I believe is happening is that there's, in conjunction with an awakening of your mandate to know more of what it looks like for you, your mission and assignment, within that local church context. I feel like that's what it is. So I feel like what it is, let's say this, prophets are coming home, but also prophets are being brought into a place of context now. And I believe that a lot of the time, this, what your earlier question was about context. Mm-hmm. And you were saying, how do people fit? Like, what is the role? What is the function? And I feel like that's what's happening at the moment. And the funny thing is, I don't believe that we actually have the answer yet, or all of the answer, only at little snippets, because I believe that God is still unpacking what this is going to look like in the coming years. But I do believe that the early signs, and as I said, is first of all that people, when they arrive, they come home, they're actually coming, you're gonna be okay to just be, to just be part of a body, like not to have to have any function whatsoever, but actually just to be able to hang out, because really your local tribe, your local assembly, that is your family. That's who they are. Family. It's your brothers and sisters. It's where God has called you. That is his heavenly family expression on earth. He's actually called you into that context. So what does it look like to go for dinner, to hang out, to do life, you know, to actually hang out with your fellowship, for want of a better expression? What does it look like in that? And then in conjunction with that, what does it look like to serve that body in any capacity where serving's needed, any capacity? Like, I know some of the, you know, some of the strongest seers that I'd ever heard of, I remember talking to people about them and saying, well, how are they? Like, how is it having them in their church? And they, and for some of them that had really done the journey, they would say, I would get feedback like, well, actually, they are the biggest servant in the house. They're the first person to come in. They set up the chairs and they're the last one to leave. They just help out, just do the chairs, do the coffee, do whatever. And that is so, so important, so that we understand that it's not just about, you know, what you know, is anyone recognizing my gift, but actually being in a place where you're going, I'm just going to serve this body. And if I get pulled on in a prophetic capacity, that's amazing. But in saying that, I do believe that there is a reestablishing right now, especially in Australia, where the apostolic and prophetic foundations of the local church are being reaffirmed and reestablished continually through the church. And what that means is that a lot of pastors are coming into a place, and this is not that they're not already, but coming into a place where, again, the recognition of an ordination, and it has to be an ordination of fivefold prophets, is happening in churches. This is really important, because the ordination is the recognition, and it's actually the setting up again of a prophetic structure within a house. And then those prophets then equip the body into the thing of the prophetic. So in saying all of that, that's what I feel like is happening, is that there's this thing where there's a reestablishing of what it looks like to bring prophets in the house. Then they set up what we call a prophetic company, which is where all can prophesy, but actually the whole church is called to be prophetic. And then in conjunction with that, as people come in to this prophetic company, this prophetic assembly, I really believe that as that starts to evolve in the local church, people are actually going to find that they, when they come in, they actually do find their fit, and they are in context. Let me give a really easy example of that is, I've been going into local churches recently, and once a week, a lot of the time, they're starting to have both prophetic prayer meetings during the week, where most of the congregation are going, it's prophetic intercession, prophetic worship, and you've got the prophetic people coming, and they're actually free to release what they feel like the Lord is speaking, but both over the local church or over the region or even nationally, and then people can actually come into an agreement. Well, that's actually prophetic people finding their fit and finding that, and that's in a local church meeting. But what is also happening, Daniel, which is the most exciting, I think, is in the word, it says, you know, it says, let two or more prophets speak. Well, what's actually happening is that with the raising up and identifying of prophets in local congregations, we're actually going to Sunday services and we're hearing from more than one prophetic voice in local church services on a Sunday. So what's happening is that it's not just we go in and we get the word, we do the offering, we have a cup of tea and then we go home, but we're actually hearing what the Lord is saying in congregations, two or more prophetic people speaking on a Sunday service. And then what's happening is that the body is actually being equipped according to what the Lord is speaking. He's actually being equipped to be able to move according to the mandate that God is speaking out over the local church and over the region. So it's not just individual, it's actually bringing the body into a place of movement as we move according to the preceding word of God. And that's how we're supposed to live.
Now, I want to ask you a technicality question. Why is it, Daryl, that you can get around a group of people and suddenly their prophetic ability goes up? There is a spiritual dynamic behind that. How do you see that working? And it's not just prophetic, it's other gifts as well. How do you see that playing out?
Okay, so I think that's really, really cool. I used to be in a church in Sydney, and the old pastors there were incredible. They weren't just pastors, they're an apostolic prophetic couple, but they would always say, you know, you're going to come into this church and your prophetic gift is going to go through the roof, but when you go out, you might not find it operating at that level again. And what happens is that we become partakers of what other people have traded in. And so what happens is, if I have first of all, let's just say this: I believe that everything in the kingdom, in terms of spirit, let's talk about this spiritual endowment, spiritual empowerment, I believe that everything's impartable, and I believe that hunger can draw or tease that out as well. So I believe that everything is impartable, because I believe, you know, Paul says, I long to see you, Romans 1:11, I long to be with you in order that I might be able to impart a spiritual gift in order that you would be strengthened. So I believe that according to someone's inheritance, that what you carry and what you have contended for, that reality is actually impartable. So in terms of the increase of the prophetic, I believe that if someone has contended, let me give you an example. Someone has contended for words of knowledge. I believe that what happens then is they actually open up, for want of a better word, they open up a realm of the prophetic. Or say someone's, as I said, contended for words of knowledge, they open up a realm of words of knowledge. And that realm is actually a spiritual reality that exists around them and within them. So when people come into their vicinity, they actually step into a realm of words of knowledge. So what happens is they might hang out. So I'll give you an example. Sometimes in a home group setting, you might have a very prophetic person running a home group, and you go and sit in that home group, and suddenly you're prophesying over people and you're getting words of knowledge over people that, and you're going, wow, my gifting's gone through the roof. It's actually not necessarily that your gifting has gone through the roof. It is, but it's not, because what you're actually doing is you're sitting under somebody that's actually contended and broke open a realm of the prophetic. And now, by you sitting there, you're actually being activated up to a new level. And there's an incredible prophet called Dan McCullum, and he says that what happens is you can actually experience something by way of becoming more prophetic, hanging out with someone. But then when you leave, if you actually steward that, you keep stewarding it for a number of weeks. I think he said for about 4 weeks. I can't remember exactly, but he's an incredible. He started the School of the Prophets with Chris Vallotton the Bethel School of Ministry years ago with Chris Vallotton. But he said that if you actually steward that afterwards, it can actually become yours. And we actually had an incredible meeting last night. And I know you've had Todd Weatherly on your, and this is a great example, on your show just recently again. And Todd's a very good friend of mine. I've been working with him for a long time now. But what happened last night is that we moved into a realm of faith. Now, Todd had been doing nothing but engaging in the realm of faith for weeks and weeks and weeks. Suddenly he picks up the microphone, and there is a realm of faith in the room, and immediately we're tag teaming on the stage, and I get this thing in my spirit, and I'm saying, the reason that you guys are feeling this impartation of faith right now is because faith's here, but God is saying that you actually have to go home and steward it, because you're actually partaking of Todd's faith right now. And so what happens is you can contend when you're with someone, you're with someone of faith, you can contend at that moment for something, but what God wants you to do is then steward what you receive then in order that it can actually become yours and part of your inheritance. It's very exciting.
I love that. Okay. Now, the next step is to be on the other side of the coin. I love that answer. You know, and this is something I've observed too. You know, you get around people that move in the realm of miracles. Suddenly, you begin to pray for people and you see miracles happen. You're like, oh my gosh. And if if you're a newbie and a novice or whatever, you can let that get to your head. And of course, we need to mature out of that and stuff, whatever. This is something that you could track it and follow it, which is why I asked you the question. And so, this is really cool. However, if a person wants to be the guy or the girl that contends to break something open, Daryl, what does that journey look like?
Okay, so if you want to be the person that's actually contending to break something open, first of all, I believe it's all it's all conditional on you hearing the voice of the Lord. I don't believe that you can actually surpass that. I do believe that there, okay, so in saying that, I do believe that you can, you know, we can read the Bible like you talked before and you go, okay, there's a promise here and I'm contending on the word with all the promises and you do it like that. But I really feel like what happens is that instead of, like you said before, I love what you said before, Daniel, about just kind of, you kind of pray all these things and you kind of shoot, you're shooting in the dark and you're hoping, it's like darts. It's so funny because I'm actually holding a dart right now as I'm talking to you. It's like darts, isn't it? It's like you're playing a game of darts, but you're blindfolded and you're hoping that one of them will actually hit the board. And this is the thing, which is what I love. This is the thing. If we listen, it's like reading the Bible. I've never, ever been able to do a Bible reading plan, ever in my whole life. I've printed them off. I had them stuck into my Bible. I'm like, okay, I'm going to really read it this year. And I would sit down and I would do 2 days. And then I'd be like, why can't I read it? And he said, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, because you don't read like that. That's actually not your wiring. And I started to understand that when I read the word every day. But when I read the word, I read it with the Lord. I say, God, who am I reading about today? And he'll say, I want you to read about Jacob. I want you to read about Peter. I want you to, and he's quickening to me the things that he's wanting me to do. So, and this is answering your question right now. It's all, so this is what it's about. Part of what I believe it is when we're called to contend for a particular area, it's God actually, God inviting us, first of all, to be able to contend for that particular area. And I really believe that it comes out of a place of hunger first. Now, we've been talking a lot about the sevenfold Spirit of God, and I really believe that where it says it talks about in the Book of Chronicles, we all know the scripture, and it says the eyes of the Lord, they say, roam to and fro upon the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully devoted to him in order to support them, or whatever, you know, it depends what version you have. But we know that the eyes of the Lord are the sevenfold Spirit of God. Now, the sevenfold Spirit of God, I don't want to go into this too much, but we've been teaching on this recently, but the sevenfold Spirit of God, I believe they actually run training programs. Now, this is so out there, but I know that we can talk about it. I believe that the sevenfold Spirit of God, actually, they work together like the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. But I believe they actually can bring you into a place where you can be trained in by them, to be able to access new levels of wisdom, faith, power, which is might, counsel. I really believe that you can do that, but I do believe that it's actually by way of you entering into a process with them where you actually come into a place through obedience where you listen to what God is saying and you actually partner with the sevenfold Spirit, partnering with the Holy Spirit, actually partner with them to appropriate the things that God asks you to appropriate in order for you to come up to another level in that. So that's the difference between rather than waking up in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning every day and contending over and over and over and over and over and over and over for one thing, it's actually in conjunction with, I do believe that works too, but I do believe that it's actually partnering in a place of listening prayer where we actually listen, we receive the counsel and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit of what to appropriate in order to be able to get into the next level of operating in a particular gift. And I believe that that's how we get the breakthrough a lot of the time. And a lot of the time through obedience. So you wake up in the morning, God says, I want you to go and buy a tin of soup. And I said this actually when you were in Australia, I think. And then you go to get a tin of soup, and then God says, okay, that's great. I want you to go now, and I want you to get a refund on the tin of soup. I want you to go and take it back. And you're like, why am I even doing this? And God's actually training you not just to hear his voice clearly, but he's actually training you in a level of obedience that you need to be able to operate in order to be able to really stand in something maybe like the gift of knowledge. But he's asking you to buy soup, but in the same breath, what he's doing is he's preparing you to be able to call out information about people specifically that will see them broken through. And that's what I believe, that you can actually come into a place where you contend for those things, partnering with God as he leads you. We walk with God specifically on a daily basis. And then as we do that, he actually leads us into a place where we then apprehend more of the inheritance that was due us in conjunction with working with him and the sevenfold spirit to equip us to be able to actually navigate and hold those things. To whom much is given, much is required. And that's a really, really important process and journey. And each person has a different area. I really believe that. I don't believe that, I just want it all. I want it all. I just want the ones that, that my gift and call are really in line with. I'm not saying I don't want to move in everything. I'm not saying that, but there are some particular things that people feel more drawn to, and those things I really believe are the things probably that God wants you to be able to become move into what you're called to do, but then become a catalyst for other people to move into what they're called to move into too.
One of the interesting things, Daryl, is that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And this is how God has trained me to labor. He's like, look, apply your effort to the place where I put my grace. And it's like a wow moment because, and this goes right in line with what you were saying, I don't believe that I am supposed to be contending for stuff that the Holy Spirit isn't prompting me to contend for in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, I see someone moving in the realm of just miracles, and it's, oh, that's so cool. I want to apply my faith to fast and pray and strive and, whatever, to apprehend that. But really the Holy Spirit's saying, well, my grace is on bringing you into the discerning of spirits. I don't have that. It's not right now. So I have two options. I can either spin my wheels trying to manifest something that God isn't actually holding my hand and pulling me towards, or I can just take the journey God has for me and enter this grace. And when the grace is there, there's a bit of, it's almost like effortless labor. And
yes.
That to me, that goes right in line with entering the Lord's rest. We labor to enter his rest. It goes right in line with all this stuff. And so I really love what you have to say. It's not like breaking something open is going to come apart from obedience and surrender and sacrifice. Yeah. But it shouldn't come with striving and
never
what I would call unnecessary suffering.
can we go a little bit deeper with it? I love this. This is so cool. I really believe that when you access grace, this is so cool. I believe that you actually access angelic hosts that minister to you a realm of peace in order for you to be able to fulfill the mandate that God has for you. To put this in a biblical context, it talks about angels hastening to the word of God. We know that. We get that. But angels can't operate. Angels don't operate, and you know this already, Dan. You talk about this a lot. But they need to operate within the context of what God is speaking. So this is what I feel like. What happens is when we get into a place where we get our idea and not the God idea, what happens is we go, okay, I see this and I really want to do it, and it becomes so dry, and we're working over this thing. But I really, exactly what you're saying, I really believe that what happens is that when we get into a place where we start to access what the Lord is saying, the leading of the Lord, what it looks like, and I understand what you're saying about going through suffering, and because you do it, it's what it looks like. But when you walk into that place of obedience, you actually access, I really believe, different angels will actually come and minister to you along the way, and they actually make it easier, much easier. And so we know that because Jesus went through a really, really hard time, didn't he? Led by the Spirit of God in the wilderness. But what happens directly after that in the book of Matthew? What does Matthew say happened? It says, and then the angels came and ministered to Jesus. And so I feel like that's what happens. You actually become a target for the ministry of the angels of heaven when you partner with God in this place of contending for this next thing or contending for this gift. You actually partner with heaven in ways that you wouldn't, we can't even believe. And we think sometimes it's like, wow, it just feels so easy. But actually, sometimes what we're experiencing when we're saying things like, it feels so easy, is we're actually experiencing a buffer or a buffering from both the Holy Spirit himself, but also from the angelic. And it's that buffering that comes that actually allows us to be able to sustain under the pressure sometimes that we need to go through. I believe that we need to, it is what it is. You've got to be kind of, I feel like sometimes we go through these processes and we're like, yeah, I'm getting stronger, I'm getting stronger. And I think that we are getting stronger, but I like to look at it as we're actually getting you're getting molded. It's actually being molded. It's actually you're being prepared for something, and you're being molded by the hand of the Lord. You know, like the clay, and it's painful. You know, you're a diamond, but you know you've got to chip that coal away. It's like the pressure has to come. You know, and it's that pressure that actually prepares us to be able to move into. And this is so cool. And I'm just going to say one thing. This is so cool. I feel like a lot of the time, God spoke to me about 5 years ago, and he said, I was in a public meeting, and he said, I want you to speak this out. How many people are going through a hard time? And, you know, and gosh, that's not, it's a generic prophetic word. It sounds like it, doesn't it? And everyone's putting their hand up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And God had never spoken to me this before. And he said, people are going through a hard time. They're feeling incredible pressure from every side, but I'm actually just answering their prayer. And I was like, what do you mean you're answering the prayer? You don't bring any affliction upon man. You're just not like that. You know, that's not who you are. That's not your answer, your solution. And he said, no, people had actually entered into a season of preparation with me because of the prayers that they had prayed many years before to prepare them for the ministry that I had for them. And they're actually just in the middle of what it looks like to be remolded and prepared to walk out the fullness of those mandates. And it's the same thing, Joseph. You know, Joseph gets the dream. I'm not saying he prayed to the Lord in that context because he didn't. But what I'm saying is that he was in a place where he had a dream and then he was put in prison. But in the midst of that, those horrible situations, he was prepared. He was molded. He was made ready to be able to, you know, to be a 2IC over the whole of the nation, you know, of Egypt. So isn't that's just so cool.
That is absolutely profound, Daryl. I'm just going to ask you this. Is there anything else that the Lord is specifically putting on your heart at this point in the program that you feel it needs to be said or spoken? Particularly for those that are listening to this and getting their own promptings and proddings and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I think that for those people that are listening to this right now, and I feel like this is actually a prophetic word for people today. I really feel like there are people here and you're literally in the valley of decision. And that might sound like a generic word, but it's actually not. It's very, very specific for people. I believe that there are people here and you're listening tonight or today or whenever you listen to this, where you are literally in a place where you are trying to make decisions. And it feels like the decisions are really, really big. And it's like, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I go here? Do I go there? And I feel like for those people that are in this place where, even from what I've been speaking about today, I've been talking to you guys about what it looks like to settle in local churches. And I feel like what's happened, and this is, and I'm going to speak out over you guys, I actually feel like what God is doing is he's releasing a new level of clarity to listeners today. I really believe that clarity is coming, and I actually believe I believe that there are companies of angels that actually release clarity and wisdom specifically, but I really believe that God wants to release clarity and wisdom to people for making decisions. I really believe that when we're in a place where we're double-minded, it actually invites, it actually opens the door for spirits of confusion to come. And I really believe that what God is doing right now is saying, I'm eradicating confusion and I'm bringing clarity, but this is so crazy. The way that we partner with that is we wait for the clarity and the wisdom to come. But wisdom is actually practical application of knowledge. And I feel like what God's doing is he's actually wants to give us first keys in what research we need to make or what we need to do specifically to attain knowledge about a particular thing so then we can make a wise decision about it. And I feel like that's part of it. And that's actually part of that ministry, I really believe, that's coming from heaven for some people today. But I feel like in that is what God is saying is he is eradicating confusion from people today. He's eradicating confusion from people today, and not just for this month or this week, but actually for now, for an extended period, I'd like to say forever, you are actually going to feel like your mind is so clear and you actually know where you're going to go. And I really feel like what's happened is that there's a clouding that comes in. It says that your word is a lamp unto my feet, which means, you know, kind of what to do on the daily basis, and a light unto my path. And really believe that God is reestablishing his word again through some of the prophetic words that have been spoken, but also reestablishing people in his word, because there is a new level of illumination coming so people can actually see clearly again and move into the things that God has for them. So it's really important that we understand that wisdom and clarity are coming now to eradicate confusion in order that we can move forward and make great decisions with the Holy Spirit.
You know, I'm going to receive that. Folks, I hope you're listening to this, and if that is resonating with you, you receive it. Wow. Daryl, thank you for an incredible conversation. I mean, this, honestly, program will unpack into at least 5 or 6 sermons, maybe 7. This is a ton. Folks, you may have to listen to this 2 or 3 times. There's so many nuggets in this program. Now, let me remind you, Daryl is one of the leaders and pastors at Field of Dreams in Adelaide, Australia. You can check them out at fieldofdreams.org.au. Of course, you can also find Daryl's contact information there. I would encourage you guys to keep any emails that you want to send him reasonable. That is, please don't send my guest 20 pages of your life story because you identify with what he's talking about. Because he's a busy guy, and getting a 20-page email is actually a bit discouraging. I speak from personal experience. It's just like, oh my, when am I going to find the time to read and properly respond? And so I just want to say that, you know, be gentle with my beloved guest. Daryl, thank you so much for being on the program.
And you're so welcome.
You know what? We're going to have Daryl back again at some point in the future. Folks, you have been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Clozmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.